For the longest time, Aspen resident Mark Tompkins wanted to write a novel. Though his money came from real estate, he had creative pursuits as well. He wrote poetry, he was a professional photographer, but in 2013, he finished the first draft of his book, The Last Days of Magic. It'll be released tomorrow, and a party is being held on Thursday at Explore Booksellers. He joins me now in the studio.
Well, you've said that writing a novel is something kind of that you've always wanted to do. How hard is it to actually kind of sit down and finally do it? It's a very daunting idea.
It is. I believe the more the novel or any kind of project is a dream, the harder it is to get started. And I've often envied those that took on writing as a career because I think they get a chance to work into it over time through education and so forth. But if it's just that thing out there that you've always dreamed of doing, then the longer you put off, the bigger the mountain looks until you actually get on it. And it's like climbing a mountain. You just have to hit the trail one foot in front of the other until you get to the top with plenty of Snicker bars along the way. It turned out to be kind of epically tall as it worked out.
Was there a particular moment where you kind of realized, like, oh man, what did I get myself into?
Yeah, that usually happened about 9 a.m. every day, before I'd gotten my second cup of coffee down me. And writing is very much a decision. You have to decide just to keep going because there are going to be lots of points where you don't think you can make it to the end. And you have to just keep going and trust that you will find the creativity to make it to the end. And you always come back and edit it. That's my main thing. Okay, I'm going to go write today, even though I know I'm crappy today, because I can always come back and edit. But the fact is, when I look back at the work, on a day I felt like writing and a day I didn't feel like writing, the work is the same in terms of quality. They both need the same amount of editing.
Can you tell me about a time when you felt that pressure, felt that difficulty?
I think, at least for me, writing is very much a momentum game. As long as I'm writing every day, it's pretty easy to get back into it. If I take a break, like go on a vacation or something, I always want to take a break from writing for some reason. But when I actually do it, those are the moments that it's hard to get started again. And I would deal with them by, instead of starting to write fresh material, I'd go back and edit older material until I felt like I had that momentum. I think the real challenges came when I realized the book end was in sight. When you've got within a story arc, I'm pretty comfortable, I only have a few chapters left. And then this ending becomes this blinding light that I'm moving towards, that it's almost, almost don't want to get there, because if you finish it, then you have to show it to somebody, and then you find out if your dream is real or just, a puff of smoke, whether it's quality work or just something you did for yourself.
What's scarier, seeing the end or being at the end?
I think seeing the end is scarier than being at the end, because when you are at the end, then you there's a process. You have to edit it yourself until it's as best as you can possibly make it, and then there are these other steps you go through. There are later things that are scary down the road, but that first few months, I think, when you've gotten to the point where you think you have finished, or at least have written the final end of the story arc, it feels pretty good.
What sort of research goes into writing a book like that when you are mixing fiction and nonfiction?
You can research all you want. In fact, research is the best excuse for not actually writing. You feel like you're doing something productive, where at some point in time you are no longer being productive. This book was built, I said, not just on history, but not so much fantasy as mythology. When I decided to write a novel about the magic of Ireland, I knew there was a lot of magical history there, a lot of mythology there, but I did not know what it was. So I embarked on a process just basically for the novel of learning the history of magic in Ireland. Who were the Irish fairies, which are called the Sidhe? What is their history? And I came to learn, these people were big. I mean, they were 7 feet tall. They were kind of badasses. You just want to mess with them. And they married and procreated with humans. So clearly they weren't dragonfly size. So this was all put together. And so as opposed to thinking of it as a blend of fantasy and history, I like to think of it as a blend of mythology and history. So I went back to the Irish mythology and said, okay, let's have a single mantra. What if it's true? What if all these old stories of the Irish fairies and other Irish magical beings was true, like merpeople? Then let's bring that forward and put them all in the 14th century with the humans. And then what's going to happen? And then what happened to it? How did it disappear? Why isn't it there today?
And you went to Ireland, too, to do all of this research. What did you do? Tell me what that was like.
Well, I discovered I was in Ireland. My mother is Irish. Her family is all from Clare and Meath. And I had gone back there with her because she had not personally been there. And I discovered a story of a woman by the name of Red Mary, which was really a legend about, it was based on this woman by the name of Marie Rue. And she was a very strong female character, and she'd stayed with me for a couple of years. So when I decided to start the novel, and it was going to be in Ireland, and it was going to be about magic, then she had to be in it. And I figured the only way to really learn these old Irish mythological tales was to go back to Ireland and learn them. It was basically a process going around Ireland, going to the sites, going to the museums, going to the old bookstores and digging out all the Irish books I could and shipping them back home and learning about the Irish mythology.
Mm-hmm. Now that your book is done, after wanting to do it for all this time and it's getting released on March 1st, how do you feel?
Simultaneously terrified and thrilled. You know, we come back to that concept of the dream. You know, if you had a dream, or when you have a dream, then when that dream starts to become reality, there's always a danger it won't play out. And so, especially in something as public as a book. So it's going to be out there. It's going to get reviews. People are going to decide whether they want to read it or not read it. And that decision, which is out of my control now, is going to have a bearing on whether or not I get another book deal from my publisher. So there are those concerns, but at the same time, this is what I wanted. And if this is the only book I ever write, I still got a chance to do it and get it out there. And I wouldn't have died not having written my novel, and if it doesn't sell, there will be other things to do.
Mm-hmm. You worked with some people related to Aspen Words, and they kind of acted as support for you. Tell me what that was like, having people having your back.
Yeah, I needed Aspen Words in order to get the novel finished. As I mentioned before, I don't have training as a writer. And I think I'm a pretty good storyteller, but the difference between a storyteller and someone who can convey that in written words. So the Summer Words program provided direct writing education. And I went through that several years in order to hone a certain base level of skills. It also gave me exposure to agents and editors, which encouraged me to continue on. It was very easy to stop a novel, very easy not to finish it, to have that belief that you're really just not wasting your time. And so that encouragement, I think, helped me actually get to the finishing line. And then once I had a novel and done the best I could, you still need somebody else to edit the novel. And Aspen Words has a professional editing program called The Editing Room, where they take your novel and give it to New York editors and have them edit it and send it back to you. And that made a whole lot of difference in getting the novel into a shape where it actually kind of made sense. I think of it translating into English. And then the final step was I made the contacts at Aspen Words and the Aspen Writers Network, which is kind of the local writers and their connection with Aspen Words, that helped me get it published.
All right, Mark. Thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Sure.